Our topic this morning is the quiet time. How to have time alone with God. And I take for my key verse Mark 1:35. How to have time alone with God? Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Mark 1:35. I read in a Christian magazine many years ago a statement I found very hard to believe. This is before we started the Shamgar training program for laymen in churches. And this statement said that 85% of Christians don't have a regular, a daily quiet time. I thought, boy, that's a pretty solid statement. 85% of Christians don't have a regular daily quiet time? So I just let that stop in the back of my mind, and then we started the Shamgar training programs for key men in churches, really. And fellas and girls, it's not 85% that don't have a regular daily quiet time. It's more like 95%. That is right. If I have one message to give on our trip around the world in January, this is the message I want to give. And I'm just sorry I'm limited by Dave here to a certain number of minutes, but I'll put in slowly what I feel are the main points of what we should share on how to have time alone with God. Dave read to you last night, and I'd like you to take the reference again, Luke 10:38-42, it's the story of Mary and Martha. Luke 10:38-42. Let me read it to you. Now it came to pass that as they went, that's Jesus and his disciples, that he, Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And what was the one thing that was needful that Mary was doing? Just sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, and no doubt talking back to him. And I well remember there around about that 17 years ago when Bob Lockton, my spiritual father, got beside me. The first question he really asked me, Jack, was, how's your daily quiet time? I said, what's that? And he just shared Mary and Martha with me. He said, Jack, you're really a Martha. There's nothing wrong with being a Martha, but take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it was Jesus that said that the one thing was needful, sitting at his feet. It wasn't Peter, James, or John, or Paul. Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This one thing that was needful. And my spiritual father said, Jack, if you'd like to make a covenant with the Lord that you'll meet him first thing every morning early, I said, I'll do that. And that changed the course of my Christian life completely. Coupled with Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Give God first part of every day. There may be other times of the day where you want to have Bible study and other devotional times, but set the first part of the day off for the Lord. And this makes this number one priority. All right, what is a quiet time? Let me briefly tell you what I believe a quiet time is. Number one, it is a basic first step in making our life count for God. It is a basic first step in making our life count for God. It is time set aside for the most important encounter of the day. It is time set aside for the most important encounter of the day. It is time for spiritual nourishment and refreshment. It is time alone with the object of our love. During my courtship with my wife, Mae, I had a tremendous desire to just be alone with her. I like people and I enjoy people. But during this time, I planned to be alone with her, and you long to be alone with the one that you love. And in the spiritual realm, we enjoy group meetings just like this, which is really, really wonderful. But if we really love the Lord, we'll want to set time alone to be with Him, that He can talk to us through the Word, and we in turn can talk back to Him. Summarizing, what is a quiet time? It is a specific time alone. I underline that alone. It is a specific time alone with God, during which our heart's devotion is kindled through fellowship with Him. I'd like to repeat that. It is a specific time alone with God, during which our heart's devotion is kindled through fellowship with Him. All right? Why should we have a quiet time? Some points on why we should have a quiet time. Put down the reference, Proverbs 15:8. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Proverbs 15:8. The Lord just delights for us to have fellowship with Him. Another reason why we should have a quiet time, put down Philippians 3:10. The first three, five words in Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. Why do we get alone with Him? That I may know Him, that I may make Him known. That's the theme of our conference. Over in Isaiah, Hosea, we're talking this morning. Hosea said in 6:6, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. God's looking for our love. Well, as we spend time with Him, what happens to us? We get conformed to the image of Christ, which tells us that in Romans 8:29. We seem to get like the person that we have time with. I've been having time with my wife for around about 45 or 46 years now. And you know what? So many people say we are like one another in so many ways. Oh, we have our difference of opinion. And May wins every time. But we are alike in so many things. I say something and May says, I was just about to tell you that. And May says something to me, say, I was just thinking that myself. We're so much alike. So much alike. And to get to know someone, you must spend time with them. Just spend time with them. Another reason why we should have a quiet time, put down Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit the whole day to the Lord before you start. Ask him to order your steps and your stops, and you'll have a lovely day. Proverbs 16:3. So just put down, commit the day. Commit the day. I commit May to the Lord every day. And I have a few little verses I like to say each time to the Lord regarding May, my quiet time of the morning. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I say, Lord, would you make that May's moment by moment experience each part of the day? And then I quote Philippians 4:6-7 to the Lord for May, which we had just a while ago. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I just say, Lord, I pray May I'll not worry about anything today. Especially worrying about me and the things I might do that will distract her. There's many other verses that I do. But it's remarkable how we can commit ourselves to the Lord and commit others to the Lord in the early morning quiet time. Another reason why we should have a quiet time, put down Psalm 143:8. I'm just scratching the surface on this, by the way. Put down Psalm 143:8 for direction and guidance. For direction and guidance. Psalm 143:8. Direction and guidance. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. From thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way where I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And we have many decisions to make, haven't we, during the day, especially you young people, as well as us older people. But we must get alone with the Lord to seek his direction and seek his guidance. The little thing I try and do of a day, afresh each day, is I say, Lord, in Psalm 25:4-5, you say, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So I ask the Lord that. And you know what the Lord replies back to me? He replies back to me through his word again. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And thine ear shall hear the word behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. That's Isaiah 30:21. It's remarkable how we're guided by the Lord. May and I can give you testimony after testimony, even in our age, how we're just guided by the Lord day by day, day by day. And if I get out of fellowship with the Lord during the morning, I'm out of the fellowship all day with the Lord. All right, now the fifth reason why I should have that quiet time is write down Acts 4:13. Acts 4:13. And write down after it, for witnessing. For witnessing. Once again, I'll refer to Dave here and he won't mind. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Are we going to come up next year? I apologise, Dave. I apologise. Right. Well, you may wonder how our quiet time affects our witnessing. Well, someone has said that witnessing is just taking a good look at the Lord and telling others what you've seen. Just what you've seen. And I believe our witnessing starts in our early morning quiet time. For witnessing, some Christians are looking for some special recipes or gimmicks or something to help them to witness. But primarily, as I said this morning, we witness both by light and by lip. That's how we witness. And we get that in the early morning quiet time. And in witnessing, it's not so much what we know, but who we know and how well we know him. And how much we long that others might come to know him too and know the fullness that he can bring. Because Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I led a very full life for 47 years before I came to Christ. They used to call me Happy Jack, because I didn't know Christ. I was on the road to hell. But when Christ came in, he gave me a full abundant life. Now they call me Happy Happy Jack, which is good. See? Do we sing a song, Happy 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 Dave?
No, we haven't learned that
yet. Oh, good. Well, let's teach you that. I don't even know it myself, to be honest. I thought you did sing that. All right, the sixth reason is put down Isaiah 40:31. Put down Isaiah 40:31. And just put down for renewing our inner strength. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And some of us are dealing with a lot of non-Christians during the day. And certain things happen in our life which is not very edifying. So we need to get with the Lord that we might have our inner strength built up. Many, many other reasons that why we should have a quiet time. But now, Dave, is the time where we tighten our seatbelts on this message. So get set, will you? Really get set for what I'm going to say in the next 5 minutes. When should we have a quiet time? When? Well, there are a number of scriptural references on this part of our outline. I'm not going to go into them all, but just refer briefly to a few of them. Abraham got up early in the morning. Moses got up early in the morning. Job got up early in the morning. The psalmist got up early in the morning. The people in Luke, when they went to see Jesus in Luke 21, they all got up early in the morning. So that's just one time. Now, the psalmist also tells us in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So evening, morning, at noon. That's another time, three times a day. Psalm 55:17. Daniel, in Daniel 6:10, three times a day he came and prayed to the Lord. That's Daniel 6:10. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, says, pray without ceasing. That's continuous. But the one I like is the key verse for this message. Mark 1:35. Jesus, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a salty place and there prayed. And if it was necessary for Jesus to do that to his Father, it's all the more necessary for me and you to do it. And you can see that in these verses, there are various times that you can have your quiet time. However, and a big however, most of us won't get it worked in unless we have it at the first part or at the beginning of each day. That is the normal way we do it. Now, I don't know what your setup is where you live, but I'm just talking about the ordinary working man now. If this fits into your category, well and good. If the cap fits you, wear it. If not, work it out to suit yourself. Normally in a home, when a man's finished his breakfast, if he's going to work, he normally finishes his breakfast, says goodbye to his family, gets in the car, gets in the bus, gets in the train, and he goes to work. Now, if he doesn't have his quiet time before breakfast, he tries to get it in during the day. He intends to get it in during the day, I meant to say. But you know what? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. See, Jesus was my example. And over in 1 John 2:6 it says, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. He was our example. Let's walk as Jesus walked. Could I have a show of hands as to how many here have been to the been to a concert? Most people been to a concert? Good. I'd like to ask you a question. When does the orchestra tune up? Is it before or after the concert? I think the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? The orchestra tunes up before the concert. And we must tune up with the Lord the first thing each morning before the day crashes in on us. Why? Well, Mark 4:19 tells us why. For the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and are become unfruitful. That's in Mark 4:19. Now, we might intend to get up early in the morning, but there's got to be more than an intention. There's got to be some discipline. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth, but it's the soul of the diligent that is made fat. Just want to go for my... Dave, have you got one of those little sheets I gave you that I brought up? Status status from... Yes. Billy Graham. I was listening to him the other night speak to his team, which he meets with once a year. And he said, team, he said, we need to get back to the basics in our own life and in our teaching. Good. Thank you. And he said, team, we must give the Lord first part of every day. He said, I would no more come down to my breakfast unless I had that time alone with the Lord in the word and in prayer. I've made it a habit in my life. And I have a little slip of paper here in my right hand. And if I had the world's goods in my left hand, and this little slip of paper in my right hand, what do you think I might give you that would count for eternity? Not the world's goods. I've had them. They don't mean a thing for eternity. Nothing wrong with the world's goods. Nothing wrong with money. It's just the love of money that's the root of all evil. But if I wanted to give you something that would count for eternity, I would give you that slip of paper, which we are going to give you one each later on. And you know it's free? They're free, Dave. Don't collect $1 each or $2. I don't want to name them. It's free. And let me open it up, just like the magic man. And do you read what it says? What's it say, Evelyn?
No Bible, no breakfast.
No Bible, no breakfast. How about that? And then you get the wise man that says, well, I don't have breakfast. And my answer to that wise man is, well, you need to see a medical doctor. For about 4 years ago, I was having trouble with pains here and pains there and so forth, wasn't I, mate? And I just wasn't feeling well at all. So I went to my medical doctor. And the first question he asked me was, Jack, what do you have for breakfast? Oh, I said, I have a piece of toast and some honey and a cup of tea. He said, what else? I said, nothing else. He said, there's your problem, Jack. He said, get something on the inside of you. Get some, cornflakes, bran, egg, a couple bits of toast and so forth. And so I did. And within a couple of days, the miracle happened. All the pains and aches have gone. I haven't had one since. So, fellas and girls, you need to have a breakfast. So don't give me the big say, you know, you don't have the breakfast sort of thing. You need breakfast. So no Bible, no breakfast. And I can tell you that lives have been changed. I know my own life has been changed. May's life's been changed. I can tell you about hundreds, yea,
thousands of people I know all around the world through ministries whose lives have been changed because they've made this promise and covenant to the Lord. Lord, from now on, it's going to be no Bible, no breakfast. From now on. Now, this weekend is called a discipleship basic weekend. It's not just an ordinary church members weekend. It's a discipleship weekend. And to be a disciple, it's a little bit different to being an ordinary Christian because the standard is a little higher. Now, I'm going to ask each and every one in the room here to give consideration tonight before you go to bed of making a promise to the Lord that from now on, Lord, as far as possible, for me, I want to meet you first thing every morning, and I want it to be no Bible, no breakfast. But before you do, don't treat it lightly. I want you to take a note of a reference in Ecclesiastes. It talks about keeping your vows. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5. Think of this before you make this covenant with the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5 says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay." So I'd suggest that you treat it very seriously. Get down on your knees beside your bed, and if you mean business, tell the Lord about it. And if you do it, then come around and tell somebody else. I had a ring from Adrian Gearing, businessman, a lecturer in a college or something, night before last. And I did this when I was down in South Australia. He said, "Jackie, I want to see you." "I said, what do you want to see me about?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I have all the trouble in the world and the Christian life and so forth and one thing and another." I said, "I just want to ask you one question." "One question?" I said, "I want to ask you one question." I said, "How's your daily early morning quiet time?" I said, "How many early morning quiet times before breakfast have you missed over the last 28 days? This man was the key man. "Oh," he said, "a big number." I said, there's your trouble. There's your trouble. It's like the doctor putting the thing on your heart and, you know, bang, 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 bang." I said, "Now, Adrian, what you need to do, this is with a conference, you need to go up to your bedroom tonight." I gave him Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5 and say, "Lord, from now on, it's going to be you first every morning. It's going to be no Bible, no breakfast. Now, the first thing that's going to happen to you, Adrian, the big pride's going to come into your life." He said, "Yes, it's already come in since you've been talking to me." See? So I said, "Now, that's what you need to do." He said, "What's the second thing you want?" I said, "I don't tell you the second thing until you finish the first thing. But," I said, "if you do this, tell somebody about it, because it'll be a blessing." Anyway, the answer was that he saw me next day and he did it, and it took him a long while to do it. He said, "The devil hit his pride on it, you know, to do this simple little thing," and so forth. I said, "Don't do it to please me, but I can tell you the testimony. So many lives have been changed. Men, professors, university students, PhDs, doctors, you name them, everybody. The ordinary worker man, men and women." And now, in Adelaide, Ray Ewers, the representative down there for Navigators, tell me he's one of the leading key men. Because this simple, little discipline was put in his place, put into place. And fellows and girls, I'll tell you the same thing. If you're not doing it, please give consideration to it. If you get nothing else out of this weekend but this one thing. Okay? No Bible, no breakfast. Covenant with the Lord. Said in 23:12, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I must repeat that I could stand here and testify for hours of the lives that I know have been changed. You might say, "Well, now look, I haven't got a convenient place to go." So don't give me that trash. Where there's a will, there's a way. We have a young married man. When I say young married man, he's only 31, he's young to me. He's got five children. He's a builder. And he built one room, and this was the bedroom, this was the kitchen, this was everything. And when the children would come along, how could he have his quiet time? He'd wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and so would the whole family. So he lived at Dural, which is out in a very cold place, Dave. And he went out into his car. It was all covered with frost, one thing or another. He put the light on, and he'd have his quiet time there. Another fellow in one of the groups in the Chamgar said to one of our leaders, oh, he said, no, well, I can have a quiet time in my place. The children about, the wives about, and one thing or another. And the leader said, now think, you must have some place that you haven't thought of. Haven't you got a little shed? Oh, yes, he said. He said, I know, I've got a woodshed right down the far back of the yard, he said. I can buy myself a hurricane lamp. I can go down there and have my quiet time. This man's really alive for Christ today. I can tell you testimony after testimony. I think it was Moody. Moody had his quiet time in a coal bin. I don't know what a coal bin is, but I think it's a bin where you keep coal. But this is where he had to have his quiet time. Now, if you really mean business for Jesus Christ, where there's a will, there's a way. And by the way, Yvonne, you're exempted. When you become a married woman with children, you're exempted. Okay? Good. All you've got to do, Yvonne, is when you wake up in the morning, to say, good morning, Lord, and then get on with the business. Good. Okay? Well, it's wonderful to make these covenants with the Lord and meeting with the Lord before you meet with men. John Wesley, you've all heard of Wesley. Well, John Wesley, at the age of 85, could say, look, I asked him what was the secret of his spiritual maturity. And he happened to say this, John Wesley. He said, for the last 60 years, I have met with the Lord at 4 a.m. every morning. And let me say this, to mean much for God, you have to be much with God. To mean much for God, you have to be much with God. And to be much with God, we need some personal discipline in our life. I'm an ex-army man. I know what discipline can do. With 400 rabble from all over Australia, but I get myself in some young fellows I knew that were regimental sergeant majors, only 19 years of age. I said, there they are, 400 of them. And within a fortnight, I have one of the best units in Australia. Why? Because of some personal disciplines. And this applies in our Christian life. And we normally find ourselves doing the things that we want to do. Take some couple of references on personal discipline, will you, please? Ezra 7 and 10 in the Berkeley. Ezra 7 and 10 in the Berkeley. For Ezra had disciplined himself to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach its statutes and ordinances in Israel. Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not do these things. He purposed in his heart. Let me repeat a verse I've repeated twice this morning. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And victory only comes through determination and discipline. And a disciplined one, or a disciple rather, is a disciplined one. And the Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say go and make decision makers, go and make converts, go and make church members, but go and make disciples. And a disciple is a disciplined one. And would you put these down in this order? It's got to be desire. It's got to be decision. It's got to be determination. And then it's got to be discipline. I hope this is not too solid for you girls. I'm not used to speaking to girls, by the way. It's a bit solid, just accept my apology. I'm used to speaking to men only, not girls, but if you feel, you know, the cap fits, well, I don't mind, really. I have a daughter, too, and I'm a bit soft and hard for the girls, so. But you need it, so you can pass it on to other girls. Hudson Taylor.
Hudson Taylor, you've all heard of Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, once said, he said this, a man can be devoted, consecrated, and dedicated. He can be all those things, but unless his life is disciplined, he's of very little use for the Lord. So it all comes down to some personal disciplines. And the challenge in my life, and Dave in your life, and Greg in your life, and Steve in your life, and you, Steve, in your life, and others, is Song of Solomon's 1:6b. Would you like to put it down? See, I'm getting very personal now. Have we got our lunch yet, love? Because we may not get lunch after this talk. Song of Solomon's 1:6b said, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And this is what we've got to be very careful in the Christian missionary ministry, that we're not busy in our Christian work and we're not looking after our own vineyard. We're not having our own personal quiet time. We're telling others how to do it. And Dawson Trotman once said, don't get so involved in the work of the kingdom. Don't get so involved in the work of the kingdom that you don't have any time for the king. Don't get so involved in the work of the kingdom that you don't have any time for the king. Now briefly, where should you have your quiet time? I would just like to say that you should have it in a quiet place, you should have it in a definite place, and you should have it in a solitary place. Set a place.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. You should have your quiet time in a quiet place, in a definite place, and in a solitary place. The quiet place is Matthew 6:6. The definite place is Daniel 6:10. And the solitary place is Mark 1:35. What to do in your quiet time? Dave has a little booklet here, How to Have Time Alone with God, little brochure. And if you haven't got one, Dave will give you one. It tells you how to start off, how to have 7 minutes with God. I'd sooner see a person having 7 minutes with God, 7 mornings a week, get that underway, and let the 7 minutes grow. A month or two later, 7 will become 14. Another 6 months, the 14 can become 21. 12 months' time, the 21 has become 30. But let it grow now. You don't try and start off with a half hour. But let it grow. And in this it'll tell you just what to do in your quiet time. Little prayer time, little Bible reading, and so forth, and so forth. But there are many, many things that you can do within your quiet time. Let me finish up by giving you some hindrances in having a quiet time. Now, the first hindrance in having a quiet time is getting up early in the morning. Everybody finds it hard to do.
Amen.
Amen, right? There should be a few amens in that. But do you know what the key is of getting up early in the morning? Somebody tell me the key of getting up early in the morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give that man a refrigerator. That's right. Is what you're doing after 10 o'clock at night more important than meeting the Lord early in the morning? That's right. That's right. I'd like you to take a note on this and put it in big print, will you please?
You can't go to bed like a 20th century Christian. You can't go to bed like a 20th century Christian and wake up like a 1st century Christian. I'll repeat it. You can't go to bed like a 20th century Christian and wake up like a 1st century Christian. And one of the greatest distractions, speaking generally, that I know of getting late into bed is the one-eyed monster. And the one-eyed monster in our language is called that TV. There's nothing wrong with the TV. We look at the TV. But you've got to have the master over this like you've got to have the master over everything else. Don't let it become your God. All right, I just want you to take an out of the 3 verses that you should learn that will help you get up early in the morning when the alarm clock goes off or when you wake up. Just 3 verses. The first verse is Proverbs 6:9. Proverbs 6:9 says, "How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep?" Proverbs 6:9. Is that heard, Dave? Okay, Proverbs 6:9. The next one is Proverbs 20:13. Proverbs 20:13. "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." Proverbs 20:13. Now, there are only 2 little light verses leading into the main verse, which is Proverbs 26:14. Proverbs 26:14 says, "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed." Ever roll over for another 5 minutes? Tell you many stories about that. Okay. Well, this is what you got to do, people. Get yourself a good alarm clock. That's the first thing. Make sure it works. Put it away from arm's length. So you've got to get up out of bed to turn it off. Now, if that doesn't work, do what I did when I was a young milk cart boy waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Put your alarm clock in. Put it away from arm's length. Now, when it goes off, you'll think all hell's been let loose. You've just got to get up and turn it off. You won't have a friend left in the universe. Now, that's what we had to do. And you wake your neighbours up. You've got to get up and turn it. And once you're up, you've got the victory. So now, will you put it down in this order? Please, I'm going to close now. I feel a fit coming on. Right, this is a secret. Get yourself a good alarm clock. Wake up. Number 3, get up. Number 4, wash up. Once you get that wash up going, that's good. Get the sleep out of your eyes. Number 5, dress up. And number 6, shape up to your quiet time.
Can you just repeat that?
Yes. This is not hurting, Steve, isn't it? Get yourself a good alarm clock, couldn't you? Kerosene tin? Away from arm's length? Then, when it goes off, wake up. Get up immediately. Now, wash up. Underline that wash up business. You must get that cold water in your face. Then mind that warm and hot water stuff. 5, dress up. So it makes you all the more awake. 6, then shape up to your quiet time. I always dress up and shave. I say good morning to the Lord when I wake up, but I always dress up and shave, and I'm really alive when quiet time comes along. All right, there are many other things you could do. The time is gone. Don't forget that Mary and Martha was the key little story, like Dave told last night.
Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word and talking back to him. As I counsel people, even missionaries from overseas, and they've backslidden, missionaries backslidden, yes. It has all started because they've allowed their quiet time to go. Mature Christians, ministers, you name them, there's nobody accepted from them. Once they let that quiet time go, there's that backsliding. I've never counseled anybody yet. I've only got to ask them one question. Not 9 out of 10, but 10 out of 10. When they've backslidden, the quiet time has been let go. Our whole Christian life is sustained by the daily quiet time. Don't let the devil get in to get you to miss one because you're not feeling well. You normally find yourself doing the things that you want to do. And finally, this does not apply to you boys, but could apply to you girls. Please don't have your quiet time in bed. Please. Dave. Just get up and wash up, dress up, have your quiet time when you're sharp for the Lord, ready and fit for the battle. I started off with Mark 1:35, and I'll end with Mark 1:35, but let me say this, that Jesus conquered you at the beginning of each day, and you will be the conqueror of all the circumstances of every day. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a salty place, and there prayed. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this short time together. I pray, Lord, that starting with myself, you'll give us a greater love for yourself, to want to spend more time with you, that our lives will be more disciplined, Lord, to meet you first thing every morning, at the beginning of every day, before the busyness of the day comes in. There'll be other times too, Lord, where we want to meet you. And this is good. But we want to make sure that we carrying out what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Guide us and direct us to continue to give us a good time together, Lord, that your name might be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.